Proverbs 26, where I want you to notice tonight a very familiar, colorful, and I must say very helpful text here in the Word of God, Proverbs 26, verse 17. He that passeth by, in other words, you're walking along, riding your bike along, whatever be the case, I guess in these days, maybe riding your donkey. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Now, first of all, let's not put this visual into some 2024 context. With all, you know, I mean, with all of our pets, our pet dogs, and our domesticated breeds that we have. No, this is Solomon writing in ancient Israel, where stray dogs, they just roamed the streets everywhere. They were not pets on leashes. So you see, he's talking about the folly, and as well the danger and the recklessness of you're passing by and you just go over and you grab a dog, a stray dog, by its ears. And of course, that puts your face, if you're grabbing a dog by the ears, where's your face? That puts your face right in front of his. Let sleeping dogs lie, as the old saying goes. Well, Solomon adds, don't grab an awake dog needlessly by the ears. Because if you hold on, he might snap your nose. If you let go, it might even be worse. And the lesson, the implication is, why? Why would anyone do such a thing? Why go out of your way, you're on the way to somewhere doing something, and then deliberately pick a fight? Well, it might surprise you tonight, beloved, to know that this question and that this subject permeates. Chris and I were talking about this before church. It permeates the pages of Scripture, a lot of which we're going to put on the screen tonight for you to see. And before we do that, however, I want you to turn ahead. I don't want this one to be on the screen, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Turn ahead just a few pages, it's not far. And let's look at a fascinating text on this same subject. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. This verse says, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Now, notice the counsel. Notice the wisdom of God in this text about this very same subject. By the way, the word that we're going to use a lot tonight is a word in English that's a perfect equivalent to a Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is associated with meddling. Virtually every single text in the Old Testament that speaks about this subject uses a root word in Hebrew, A-R-E-V-R-F, that literally means trespassing. And of course, you know that the definition of trespassing includes someone who crosses boundaries unlawfully. They are uninvited, they are unauthorized, unhelpful, and unwelcome. Meddlers are trespassers. And it brings us back to Ecclesiastes 7, where you'll notice, beloved, the verse begins with the word also. You see that? And that's because it's connected to the verse before it. A very familiar verse. What's verse 20 say? For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words. So nobody, since nobody is perfect, since nobody is sinless, and since imperfect people always say foolish and hurtful things, verse 21 says, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. You don't need to hear what everybody is saying about everything. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken, unless or lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. What's he saying? Well, beloved, he's saying that a man should never try to overhear. A man or a woman should never try to bend their ear to hearken to everything that's being said, either about himself or to others. Why? Well, for one thing, lest thou hear thy own servant curse thee. What's all that mean? Well, this brings us to the first point tonight. Number one, trespassers always injure the trespasser. In other words, look, Because people are not sinless. Because, precisely because people are unjust and sinners and fallen creatures, they say all the time, they speak words that are foolish and hurtful and spiteful. Servants certainly do, that is, employees, about their bosses. Students do, they say terrible things about their teachers. Brothers about their sisters. Wives say terrible things sometimes about their husbands, and children about their parents, and church members about their pastor. Of course. Everybody says words as fallen sinners about other people that they never intended for other people to hear. And that's precisely why you have verse 22. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth. That's a great line. You might want to underline it. In law, it's called prima facie. Prima facie means on its face. It's stipulated. It's just obvious. Everybody knows it. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know this is true. Don't act like you don't. Read it again. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Isn't that great? He says, you know this. You know that you yourself have oftentimes, not a few times, oftentimes said hurtful, derogatory things towards other people and about other people. It's just what sinners do. Pride, gossip, vindictiveness. Everybody struggles with these sins of the flesh and the spirit. Every beast of the field is tamed, James said. But the tongue, no man can tame. And what can't be cured must be endured. So what the scripture is counseling here, beloved, is that it's very unwise to seek out. It is very unwise. It's foolish, as you'll see in a few moments, to put your ear up to the door. It's unwise to give ear to these kinds of words. To use a more modern idiom, ignorance is bliss. I say about myself, fat, dumb, and happy. It's the truth of that. And so, because all sinners say foolish and hurtful things, one of the very worst things you could ever do as a redeemed sinner, as a child of the living God, is be a trespasser, an eavesdropper, a person who wants to hear, who desires to hear, and thus repeat usually what should never have been said in the first place. You see, trespassing is like taking a hot coal that would have and should have died on its own, but then stoking it, adding fuel to it. In Proverbs chapter 30, I want you to notice on the screen, and we're going to look at a lot of verses like this. Notice verse 10. This verse says, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Pastor, what's that text saying? Well, I can tell you one thing it's saying. It's saying, mind your own business. Right? It's saying, look, no trespassing. Don't grab a dog by the ears, a pit bull by the ears. Yes, servants do say, this guy over here is a servant to this master over here. Neither one are yours. And yes, servants say things about their masters that they should never, ever say. But it's foolish. It is folly for you to inject your ears and then your mouth or your actions into other people's business. Why? Well, as the warning shows us, for one thing, it ultimately will hurt you. You. For example, we know from this text in Ecclesiastes that if you try to hear others people's words, he says eventually you're going to hear words that are spoken against you or about you. And maybe even words from your own servants, your own employees, or people that are under your influence. And that in itself is extremely hurtful. Nobody, God knows this, nobody is strong enough to handle what others really, really say about them. As a matter of fact, I can tell you right now, I don't want to know. I've never wanted to know what people say about me. If I get wiretapped, or if someone wiretapped every home and every car of every member of Beacon Baptist Church,
Even though I know you love me and you know I love you, even though with that, I still wouldn't want to hear all the conversations. You know why? My heart couldn't take it. God knows that my heart couldn't take it. And that's why suspicious people, people who always stand by the door or the window and listen in, people who read other people's mail, people who want to know everything that others are saying, trespassers, honestly, they don't live very long lives. And if they do live long lives, they live every day with terrible anxiety and health problems. And in that way, trespassing is self-destructive. However, it is also self-destructive for another reason. Because if you're in there and you're disobeying the Bible here, which is what we're doing, if you're listening and hearing what others are always saying, and now you feel invested or responsible for this newfound information, this illicit information that you got that you shouldn't even know, you're more likely to insert yourself into that. The problem is, if you accuse a servant unto his master, the chances are that one of these days, this is what Solomon is saying, one of these days the tables are going to be turned. So that it may well be that 5-10 years from now, that servant that you accused is your master. Now he's the manager. He's your boss. He's the owner. And now you have an enemy, you have an adversary, and a whole new set of problems that you should never have had in your life. And of course, for people who routinely mind other people's businesses, for people who do this, you know what? They don't accuse one servant to his master. They accuse one a week. This week, they trespass into their mother-in-law's business. The next week, they'll trespass and insert themselves into the neighbor's business. And the next week, they accuse a friend of a friend of a friend and a fellow church member. And so it goes, so that by the time they're 30 or 35 years old, they've got people all over creation who are just waiting to clip coupons against them. And by the time they're 40, they've alienated all of those who could have been a blessing. And by 66, which is the age of perfection, they wonder why, quote, everybody has it out for me. Have you ever met someone that just seems like they're always full of drama? Well, they've been layering for years, bringing that drama in and on themselves. This is the life of a trespasser. This is the path of a man or a woman who just doesn't mind their own business. You see, here's what the flesh forgets when it accuses another man's servant to his master. It forgets that he himself is always able to be accused as well. In other words, unless the accuser and the trespasser is perfect, and I'm looking around, let me see if I see any. So far, no. Kevin and Andy are waving like, look, me, pick me. Pride, definitely no. Unless the accuser and the trespasser is perfect, flawless, sinless, willing to let the entire world know all of his affairs, you better mark it down. Someday the trespasser is going to be accused as well. Except that the motive won't just be intruding, it will be payback. Revenge, which, as they say, is a dish best served cold. It can come years and years later. What comes around, goes around, comes around. So you see, all that a trespasser really does by not minding his own business is make down payments on future battles and future problems he never should have had, ever, in his or her life. And of course, here's what the trespassers typically say. I am minding my business. This is what the guy who grabs the dog by the ear there in Proverbs says. Remember, this is heaven's advice for how to live on earth. The trespasser says, I am minding my business. I just don't like to see another man's servant taken advantage of by his master. I just feel like I have to speak up. I just can't ignore it, you know, when I see someone who's wrong. And this starts in junior high school or middle school. Oh, I see those two people over there. I'm going to take sides and pull them apart. Because I just can't stand to see an injustice like that. Really? Do you know there's a very harsh Bible word? Bible word for people who use that rationale in order to interfere into other people's business. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it's on the screen. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. That's an honor to run away from it. But every fool, there's the word, will be meddling. I remember years ago, there was a guy in Michigan, and he was actually the biblical definition of a trespasser. One of the blessings of, you know, moving around the country and serving in different churches, you get to meet lots of different kinds of people. And this man was always prying into other people's business. It was uncanny how much he knew about everybody in the church. One day, he placed himself right in the middle of somebody else's strife. And by doing so, he just threw gasoline on this fire and consequently on himself. And there's this big blaze that came up in our church. And the problem became so bad, we had to deal with it in a deacon's meeting. And I'm a young 27-year-old preacher, or even younger than that, 24-year-old preacher. So we go to the deacon's meeting, and one of the wise old men said, "Tom, why can't you just mind your own business?" And I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my popcorn. I'm loving all this. "Why can't you mind your own business?" Tom said, "I can't do that. I can't look the other way. He owed Brother Mick some money." And when a church member is being wronged, he said, the Christian thing to do is not to look the other way. And that was his kind of high ground that he took. I asked if I could comment on that statement, and when they agreed, I went over and got my Bible and turned to Luke chapter 12. And I read that story. You're all familiar with it. The story of the two brothers, and they were in a family financial dispute. And they were like this. And one of them came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "Master, would you help us? Would you help sort of settle this between us?" And do you remember what Jesus said? He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge and a divider over you?" And I said, in my arrogance of a young preacher, I said, "Tom, was that the Christian thing for Jesus to do? Was that the right thing for Jesus to do?" Jesus went about his Father's business. Now look, of course, obviously there are going to be times and issues that you have to. Of course, yes, there are going to be times when it's right, and it's right for you to involve yourself in that business. Jesus, for example, cleansed the temple of the money changers, but can I remind you, that was his Father's house. He wasn't trespassing. He was going about his Father's business. So that you'll notice that the Lord didn't go out and clean Pilate's house. He didn't go out and clean Rome's Senate. Just his Father's house. Proverbs 3:30 says, "Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm." If he hasn't done something to you, then why would you want to get in a fight over someone else? In other words, if something is not in your circle of influence, why are you involved? Why would you, here it is, listen to this, why would you open your home? It's not just you, by the way. It's your wife or your husband and your children or your grandchildren, your church, other people. Why would you open your home to and your family to an issue and a problem and a burden that they now also have to deal with? Proverbs 18:6 says, "A fool's lips enter into contention," which simply means a fool opens his mouth and puts his nose where it ought not to be. And by so doing, he adds to the griefs and the problems of daily life. Trespassers always injure the trespasser. It is grabbing a dog by the ears. Second observation you'll notice is that number two, trespassers always increase the misery. In other words, they take something that's a problem, a little fire, and they always, always make it worse.
In Proverbs chapter 17, you'll see on the screen another familiar verse. Verse 14 says, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." In other words, here's this great word picture. What he's saying is, just as water breaches a dam, or just as water breaches a riverbank with flooding and so forth, so too is strife and contention that is meddled with. In other words, that simply means that what began as a trickle eventually grows, increases into a torrent, and it never fails. That trespassing always, always increases the misery. And the reasons, if you think about it, folks, are obvious. We mentioned Proverbs 18:6, right? Proverbs 18:6, look at it again. In fact, we'll put it on the screen. It says, "A fool's lips enter into contention." In other words, I want in that. I want in there. I want in that fight. Put me in, coach. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth, what it means is he's asking. Because he's jumping into the middle, he's asking to be hit. There is a contention somewhere by somebody. A fool is someone who chooses to enter into that contention. He trespasses. His words, since he's decided to enter into the contention, his words proceed to blows that otherwise would never have taken place. Think about that. You know, Moody said that when two people are over here and they're quarreling about this or that, he said it's like a big fish. And it's like a big fish that's out of water and it's over there on a dock and it's flopping around back and forth. And he said, just leave it alone. And that little quarrel will flip and flop and then ultimately beat itself to death. Let it go, he said. But he said, if you go in and you insert yourself into that quarrel, it's like giving the big fish a supply of air so that it lives just long enough to do more and more damage. I saw two people in a quarrel a while ago. I could hear them, actually. And I love them both. Both of them. And both of them love me. And you know, they were at odds about something. And you know what I did about it? Because I just overheard it accidentally. I did nothing about it. I didn't go to one of them. I didn't go to both of them. And by the way, do you want to know what they were fighting about? Do you want to know? It's none of your business. I actually saw a couple of you go, sorry. Whatever it is, leave it alone. You know, 99 out of 100 times it'll die a natural death. It withers on the vine. For a lot of things, you just starve it with neglect. See, here's how God's economy works. And I'm going to tell you something. You see these post-it notes in my Bible? That's a lot of references I got to turn to. We're turning to. But I could have done 20 of these, 20 more. Easily. Here's how God's economy works. If there's a dispute between two children of God, and it's serious. It's a dispute. It's real. Do you know that there is already in place in the Bible, biblically, the outside people for whom it is their business? Matthew 18. It's already in the Bible, codified, what to do if that dispute needs someone outside to come in. And in most cases, it's family. They deal with it. It's the mom, the dad. Let them deal with it. And on those rare occasions, it might be an elder or a pastor. In other words, look, if you are in a biblical role of authority as given to us in the New Testament, the Word of God, it might be your business to get involved in this brother or sister. But otherwise, you're just a trespasser. You're trespassing in what the Bible calls a busybody. And all you do is increase the misery. You know, if you really do, if you say, well, Pastor, I care. Okay, if you really want to get involved in other people's lives, be the Good Samaritan. Find someone who's hurting and help them up.
fix their wounds, pay for their food, pay for their hotel, and then go your way. That's the example in the Bible. You ever notice the Good Samaritan didn't ask the publican the description of those people who left? Tell me more. Who was the one? Who did this to you? Who did that? No. He didn't write any nasty words in his blog. He didn't go on Facebook and says, how dare this man and this person and that. He just helped. That's not trespassing. That's compassion. You know, back in the old days, very wise people would say to their wives or to their children or to their husband, this is very godly wisdom in the old days. They would say, this is family business. This stays within our family and within these walls. That was wise. And you know why? Because there's trespassers outside of those walls. And all they will do by their intermeddling is add fuel to the fire. In fact, you know, I don't think I've ever counseled a divorce situation ever. And that's the worst kind of counseling I ever do. It takes a lot out of you. But I don't think I've ever counseled one where there weren't meddlers who helped ruin that relationship. Some third party always got in. You know, I was thinking about these TV reality shows and how they've grown since the 90s. Do you know TV reality shows, these primetime voyeurs is what they really are? You know the reason why they're so popular? They appeal to the busybody of the flesh. You get to literally watch and listen and hear things. The whole nation gets to take and trespass into what biblically is none of anybody's business. But the carnal man loves that stuff. A, the trespasser injures himself. You're just opening the door to unnecessary burdens. And I would add this, burdens that Christ did not necessarily say he will give you grace for. If you're welcoming in stuff out of disobedience to the Bible, and B, for everyone else, you're just increasing their misery. And then number three, finally. Number three, the trespasser is inviting malice. You want to see an amazing text? Look on the screen to 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's what it says in verse 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer. Well, he's writing to Christians. Believers, let none of you suffer as a murderer. Now, what does he mean, suffer as a murderer? Well, in the verse before this, he says, if you're going to suffer, suffer for the gospel. If you're going to be hurt because you're living a godly life. But let none of you suffer or hurt or go to jail. Go to jail for the gospel, but don't go to jail for a murderer, look at it, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. That's interesting. Murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody. You know, busybody in other men's matters is one word in the Greek. So it was a thing. And the Bible says you can suffer as that. You can, like a murderer goes to jail, and a thief goes to jail, and they would get flogged or put to death. He said, people who meddle into other people's busybody, those people also injure themselves. They get punished for that. Think about that. So you see, folks, we're not talking tonight about a little minor vice. Not in this list. We're talking about malice. This is a spiritual issue that is as dark as any other in life. Because trespassers are inviting malice. A couple of familiar scriptures, we're almost done. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at what it says in verse 12. And we're deliberately using the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, Solomon, the Lord Jesus. Verse 12, having damnation or condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. That's an indication of the wickedness of the last days. Trespassers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice what it says in verse 11. He says, and that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. You know what Paul's saying here? He's saying, folks, you have enough. Here's what he's saying. You have enough on your own plate to be going around minding other people's business. So that anybody who's minding somebody else's business, by default, they're not just trespassing. They're neglecting their own. They're neglecting the Father's business for them. There's an amazing, remarkable, wonderful text in John chapter 21. I was just going to refer to it, but I think you need to see it again. John chapter 21, this is the resurrected Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, so what is he telling Peter? You're going to grow up. You're going to be old. You got years left to serve me. But something's going to happen to him. Thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What's he talking about? Arrest. Martyrdom. Somebody else is going to shackle you. And we know what happened to Peter. This spake he, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith to him, Peter saith unto Peter, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, that's John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if it's my will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know what Jesus just told the apostle Peter? He said, Peter, what's it to you? He told him to mind his own business. He told Peter, don't trespass into John's territory, into whatever it is that I have, God's will, for this man, John. Why? Because Peter had enough. He had more than enough to contend with himself, to start worrying about John's business. And again, folks, you talk about human nature on display. Jesus just told Peter that he's going to be martyred. Now think about that. You were just told that you're going to live a few more years, and then one day you're going to be arrested and shackled, and you're going to die. And he would be crucified, no less. And yet right after that, immediately, Peter turns around, and he concerns himself with John. And we can all identify with that. Because we can all succumb to the carnal nature and accuse a servant to his master. But it's still foolish. It is still sinful, and it's still damaging. All that a trespasser does is make his life more problematic than it ever needed to be. And conversely, we talked about that person, say, man, that person just always surrounded by drama and troubles. There's also people say, man, it just seems like they just a little smoother sailing. Charmed life, no. Conversely, what the non-trespasser does is make his life more productive and smoother than it would have otherwise been. Look, folks, this is just as true as inspired in the Bible as John 3:16. What we're looking at in these verses tonight is just as real and powerful as Psalm 26. This is God trying to help us and to help us with his truth. In some ways, if you go through the pages of Scripture and see the dozens and dozens and dozens of texts and admonitions, and even more stories if you read the examples like David, Saul, and others, what you see is that all over the place, God himself, the true source of wisdom and of truth, God has placed signs, lots of signs, that say, no trespassing. You want vengeance? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You want to identify and pull out all of the tares in the church? I know that one and that one. I want to pull them out. Jesus says, no. I'm the good I'm the Lord of the harvest. I'll pull them up. I'll do that at the end times. Do not trespass over into my territory. Proverbs 26:20 says this, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. In VBS, our workers can tell you that I say the same thing every year. I say, stay in your lane. You have a job, you have a duty, do it. But stay in your lane. If you come running over here and get in their lane, always, it kind of messes things up. Well, in a far deeper spiritual way. Stay in your lane. We had a neighbor in Michigan, and he had a garden. He and she, both of them, older couple. They were growing roses, and one day I thought, you know what, I'm going to help them out. And I can tell they need water, so I went over and I watered them one day. And later the next day, they came and, excuse me, yeah, hey, how are you? Good. I'm trying to make a, you know, I'm the new preacher in town. I'm trying to make an impression. Did you water our flowers? Yeah. Come here. Took me out over there. They're all wilted. They said, they're our flowers. We know how much water they need. Stay out of our business. I've applied that so many times spiritually. Don't just trespass when God says you should not trespass. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed with no one moving. Heaven's advice, God's advice for how to live on earth. That's what this is. And to the degree that we take it, embrace it, and live it, to that degree we are blessed. Life is easier. Life is better. Relationships are stronger. It is the oil on the machinery of life. And to the very degree that we ignore it, disobey it, yield to our carnal flesh and stick our ear up to the door and don't mind our business, to that same degree, life gets harder. More struggles. Sadly, more damage, pain, and heartache can follow. Pastor Blalock, I'm here tonight and I'm a Christian by the grace of God. But as a Christian, I needed this reminder, and God is speaking to my heart about something. Who would say that? Would you lift your hands through the building as children of God and praise the Lord? I raise mine. I certainly raise mine. Maybe you're here tonight and you came and you're a visitor, or maybe you're a member and you said, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. If you're not sure that you're saved tonight, can we pray for you? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor Blalock, I don't know that my name's written in heaven, but I need to know and I want to know. Is there somebody like that? Raise your hand really high. We want to pray for you. Anyone? All right. We're going to pray in a moment. And let me just add to this, beloved. You know, this is just a reminder that the Bible is not just a book to learn. The Bible is a book to live. God gave us these instructions of His wisdom so that we would obey them. It's not just doctrine. It's not just a book to learn. It's a book to live. And to that degree, take the truth of God. Be a hearer of it and then a doer of it. Father, bless now the invitation as we commit it into your hands. And we thank you for the power of your word, the glory of your word, the strength of it. And it truly is a two-edged sword. And I pray, God, that we will hear it and heed it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.